Blog Talk Radio.
Tupac, please. He's gonna tell black people what to do.
He recites some history.
Please, all these gangster rappers telling black people with college educations what to do. That doesn't strike you as odd?
Okay, so you're saying that lower class blacks have the upper and middle class in check?
You know it. You'd get called Uncle Tom in a second if you went against the kind of agenda they set. Right? I mean, I'm not saying be white, but this tough guy stuff is not exactly your Stanley Kaplan formula for success. Imagine if white people were dictated to by white trash. We'd all live in trailer parks and West Virginia would be the most populous state.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. This is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, the midweek and review edition of the show, of our legendary broadcast. Folks, summer is truly upon us. It's almost encroaching 90 degrees. So we finally made it after a long winter. I mean, I do mean a long winter. We no longer have four conventional seasons. It seems to be just basically summer, winter, nothing in between. No autumn, no spring. Go figure. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. 646-915-9620. 90 minutes of fun, fact, and fire. We have a lot to get into, so let's just get into the damn thing. The captain has his diatribe, but before we listen to the captain, let's go to a quick groove. This is a cover of His Royal Badness's B-side single, She's Always in My Hair, not by D'Angelo, but by a group I discovered on YouTube called the Shadow Boxers. Very funky cover, very difficult to cover certain people. I wouldn't even entertain playing this if it wasn't of a certain quality, so I'm really digging their take on this. So again, Shadow Boxers covering His Royal Badness, She's Always in My Hair. Check it out, giving you the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, afropunk. You know what we do. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
right, all right, all right, all right. Giving you the absolute very best of urban alternative groove, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul, urban alternative. We do what we do. Check out and subscribe. I sincerely advise our listenership to check out and subscribe to the Shadow Boxers, courtesy of YouTube, and that's their cover of Prince's She's Always in My Hair. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. And without further ado, he is the captain. He is the co-host in this endeavor. Captain, you're needed on the bridge post-haste. Let's get to it, sir.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me just jump right in. Please excuse the captain for being scientifically didactic, or, if you prefer, scientifically didactive, or in reverse order, any which way. It all adds up to the same thing. Now listen up. This is Afro Nerd, and there is a nerd segment to it. Now, the last time I spoke about quantum wave collapse and how to make a reality is just 1920s science. It's nothing really difficult. It seems difficult due to the modus operandi of the school system. They did that to you, but it's actually 1920s science. So it's a lot of Star Trek. Actually, Star Trek is 1926 science with warping space-time. They did that to you. I did not do that to you. Now, just to recap, so as not to lose anybody, the captain had said before, you put images on the screen and you get masses of people to look at these images. Essentially, this can create a reality. Based on the Copenhagen interpretation, the observer collapses the quantum wave function. This creates a reality. You are observing, so what you see eventually comes into reality via advertisement, via movies, magazines, everything that you look at. Simply put, if you can recall, those of you who are old enough to remember, in the 1980s, prostitutes dressed a certain way. Now, a lot of, not all, we never want to say all, a lot of the young girls today dress like how the prostitutes used to dress in the 80s. How did this happen? Well, we had the videos, we had movies of women dressing very provocatively. And then in the future, your 16-year-old daughter, not everybody now, but your 16-year-old daughter runs out of the house with the spandex and the high boots, and she's going to school. That's the same way the prostitute used to dress in the 80s. Now a lot of times you can't tell the prostitute different from the high school student because we do have young prostitutes. How did this happen? You observed these things, and then it came into reality. Simply put. Now, this is what I want to talk about. But what happens, let's have a little fun here, must have fun doing this. What happens when you send a tweet, when you use social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? Let me walk you through it. Now, according to the captain, I am not making up anything here. I'm just taking the work of other people, which you can look up. That's why you hear a lot of times on this show, Afro Nerd and myself will say, according to. That's so you can look it up if you want. We're not making up anything most of the time, but at times we'll tell you this is our opinion. So according to the physicist Van der Hoof, he says information is two-dimensional. Now, what does that mean, information is two-dimensional? Well, first you have to understand you are a four-dimensional being, not a three-dimensional, as they teach a lot of times in school. You have length, width, and height to you. And then there's a time-like component, which is the fourth dimension. It takes you time to experience the length, width, and height. Information, two-dimensional. What kind of information? The information that's stored about you, who you are, on computers. That's two-dimensional. We know computers work on binary code, one and zero. That's two right there, so you get that, simple enough. But then, the more intelligent among you, you might say, how come it's not three-dimensional? Because the information is operating on two dimensions. The time-like component, the time it takes you to receive the information, that's you. That's not the computer. So you see what happens now, because of the advent of computers, you become a four-dimensional being acting as a two-dimensional being. Let me explain, not to confuse anybody. When you fill out your Facebook account, there's information about you on the computer. When you do your DMV driver's license, there's information about you. Medical records, job applications, military records, college information. We can yada, 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 yada. It goes on and on and on. So in two dimensions, there is an image of you on the computer circulating all around the internet. You are also operating in four dimensions. Before the advent of computers, we did not have this. We did not have this at all. You were just a four-dimensional being. Now, this presents an interesting problem. It can be a good thing, but most of the time it's a bad thing. Let me give you a scenario. Follow me on this. Let's say it's a bunch of white guys at a barbecue on the weekend with the CEO, president, VPE, VP, bigwigs. But there's about 20 of you there. They're laughing. Let's say they make racist statements about black people. No one sends a tweet. No one posts it on Facebook. It's just 20 people. They laugh. The CEO pulls you on the side and says, hey, you got to watch that. You know, you got to watch that. Be careful. Get reprimanded by the CEO. No big deal. What just happened there? Well, let's go back to the Copenhagen interpretation. The observer, by observation, collapses the quantum wave function in a reality that might be good or bad. But now there was only real world now, 20 observers. That's not enough to collapse the quantum wave function. Quantum wave functions are big, you know? Simply put, let's say if you was trying to move a log, a big log, right? But it was only two people. Can't move the log with two people. Now, 20 people come along, you move the log. The log now moves from point A to B. That's how you look at it from a quantum wave function standpoint. So nothing really changes except that the CEO of the company reprimands you. Same scenario. Same racist guys at the barbecue, all white guys. You make a racist joke about black people, and then some bright person decides to post it on Facebook, decides to put it on Twitter or Twitter, if you prefer. What happens? Let me tell you what happens now. All the observers on the internet, which is you. How? You say, wait a minute, I'm not on the computer, I'm not logged in. Good point, but you are logged in because all the computers on the planet, NSA, CIA, DIA, everybody else, has your information. Remember, according to the physicist Van der Hoof, information is two-dimensional. So on a two-dimensional plane, you are seeing, you are observing what just happened. It went out on Twitter. Then all the liberals start writing about it, says such and such that works at IBM is racist. Then by Wednesday, the white guy, same scenario, does not have a job. Let's back up because you're still not getting it. Okay? You're still not. You're missing it. You're missing it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Let's back up. On the four-dimensional plane, same white guy made racist statements. Only 20 people observed it. They laughed about it. The CEO pulls you to the side of the company, CEO, and says, hey, you got to watch that. All right, be careful. Boom. You go about your business. You're still working your nice job at IBM. Not a problem. Same scenario. Now, and someone got the bright idea to post it on Facebook. Someone decided to tweet it, or Twitter, if you would like, making fun of Twitter. Then it goes all around the internet, and then some liberal writes a whole article, and then someone else writes an article, and then the next thing you know, the CEO brings you in and has your severance package. What just happened? A reality based on a Copenhagen interpretation, because of all the observers on the internet, billions of people, they observed it. This was enough to collapse the quantum wave function to make a reality for the bad in this case, where you lose your job. See? This is Twitter. These people think they were genius with this. This now. The reason why this happens, now the correct term, but I'll pull the term out. The correct term is called quantum superimposed. I know you get scared when you say that. So put it this way. I'll pull that out and just say you are attached at the mind level because your information is on the computers. Now, here's the ironic thing that all of you understand. Innately, you don't understand necessarily the science, but you notice this. If you notice, people who are 40 and over, you can take their cell phones away. They don't have to tweet. They don't have to be on Facebook. But younger people cannot. They have an issue. They go bonkers. Not all, but most of them. Why is that? Because younger people are more attached. Their mind aspect is actually running on the computer network. Now, those of you would think this would make you smarter, but no, it doesn't. It lowers frequency. Simply put, you lower frequency, you lower energy. You lower energy, you lower your mind capability. Look at young people. Remember when you were 16, 17, 18, 19? You're a lot more energetic and probably more intelligent than these young people. People 40 and over can actually think. Younger people, it's not just generation. It's due to the computer network. This is why you see younger people always, always, they hooked into their phone. Their headphones is always in their ear. Not you as the 40-year-old, 50-year-old, little bit here and there, you know, you answer it, you can put it down. You don't turn it on for 2 days, it's no big deal. Younger person, it's very hard for them to do that because their mind, a lot more than you just partially, your mind is running on the computer network. They're operating, they're four-dimensional, operating more as a two-dimensional. So in actuality, when you lower frequency, you begin to lower intelligence. And this is what all the IQ tests also say. I'm just putting the science behind it so you can understand. So this is what's happening right before us. They thought they were genius making this computer. But computers actually took away from humanity right now. See, Captain comes along and explains reality backed by 1920 science that you can go look up. You can look up quantum physics, support by every university on the planet. You could even look up Warping of Space-Time, 1926 Star Trek stuff, you know, and how warp works and everything else. Even though most people think these writers made this stuff up. There you go. It's right there from 1920s. You could look that up, too, when you get a chance. So you see how it works, my friends. You send a tweet, the more observers, and there's a lot more observers on the internet, it collapses the reality, and it can make a reality for good or bad, A lot of times it's bad. As you see, look how many people are losing these jobs. There was racists in the 80s. There was racists in the 70s. People weren't losing their jobs, though, like that. Now you're losing your job because of all the observers. The observer collapses the quantum wave function. And the more observers that you have, the more likely you create a reality, my friend. So that's Twitter. That's Facebook. That's social media. And that's also why you see the younger people, not all the time, not all of them, a lot more stupid, cannot think because they're running a computer program because they're so quantum superimposed. You don't like that word, I know. Attached to computers. You are less attached as an older person. And if you're about 60 or better, you're blessed. You don't have anything to worry about. Less information out there on computers about you. So there you have it, my friends. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd. Let's go.
Thank you, Captain, as always. Your wisdom, a much-needed component of AfroNerd, the AfroNerd radio machine. Folks, the call-in number, don't be scared, as I always say, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I'm going to throw a number of things out at you, out into the universe, as anecdotal data. Every Wednesday, for those who are conscious of comic book collecting, this is kind of an inside thing. Every Wednesday, new comic books, right? Every Wednesday, new comic books, and it's a pastime that I've done for many years, as far as expecting new books every Wednesday. And I'm treated very much like Norm from Cheers, you know, Afro Nerd, you know, that kind of thing when you come in. And I was told that there is a continuation. I gotta find this thing. I'm very intrigued. There's literally a crew of aficionados, and I believe they have this thing that's on YouTube, and it's called Star Trek Continues. And it's literally a continuation of the first original Star Trek series, obviously with different actors, but the characters are the same. And the set is the same. I had to do a triple take when I saw this on one of my friend's phones. It's literally the 1966, 67, and 68 set used now in 2014 with folks that are just obsessed with the original series, and they are continuing some of the storylines that we're seeing now in syndication. So you may want to just Google or go to YouTube and put in Star Trek Continues. But the look of it is eerie because it looks exactly like the set from the 1960s. So that's just something I'm just throwing out there. Several legends have left the building of life, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. I'm going to play a clip. I've played it before. This is my call-in to the Sirius XM show, Coco Mode. The host is, of course, radio legend, his daughter, Jo Madison. Shawn Renee is Jo Madison's daughter. And I've played it before, but this is my lamenting the passing of, wasn't about a specific actor or actress or entertainer, but it was really, really me just ranting about the Beyonce Knowles, Solange Knowles fight. And I had confided as to why I dislike these people. So I'm going to play this clip again and then segue into the passing of Ruby Dee, phenomenal actress Ruby Dee, and of course, radio legend Casey Kasem. So, play this clip and I'll talk about Ruby Dee. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Sean, Afro Nerd from New York.
Yes, Shauna, good morning.
Good morning.
Briefly, I think there needs to be a connection made between what happened with Jay-Z and Beyonce and World Star Hip Hop. To me, it's the same ball of wax. You know, when I call up, I have this whole thing about minstrelsy and minstrel culture. And this is exactly what it is. I didn't feel anything with the Beyonce affair, because to me, and I had to be honest with myself, I'm saying, why do these people anger me so much? And I think what I came up with is they don't give me a sense of black pride. Not that someone else has to do that, but it would be a nice additive. You know, my parents' heroes, who are my heroes also, when you think of Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier and, you know, all these heavyweights, they gave you a sense of black pride, and these folks do not.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and what has happened also is we have a culture that has made black dysfunction. I want your audience to really listen to what I'm saying closely. We have made black dysfunction profitable. And just like the old saying, there's always a job, or there's always work at the post office, there's always work at being a black clown. And no one wants to address this. If we have mythologized the white man, and a.k.a. Donald Sterling. We will put...
Okay, enough of that. You get the gist. I didn't want to go off topic. But I'm reminded...
It was great,
of,
though. It was great.
Well, you know, listen, I dislike what SiriusXM produces. I dislike a lot of what's happening on radio when it comes to the urban audience. Or I should say the so-called urban audience. The so-called urban audience. But I hearken back to that clip, and callers, I see you, we'll get to you in a moment. I hearken back to that clip because when I see someone like Ruby Dee passing at the age of 91, when you go into her history, and we have to remind ourselves, when you reach 91, you're almost a century old. She's less than a decade away from being a century old. She was born in 1922, and when you do a cursory search on Ruby, you see that an early photo. First of all, she's a very attractive woman. Even at advanced age, I thought she was an attractive woman. But you see that one of her early photographs was done by the great photographer and Negroologist, I say that affectionately, Carl Van Vechten. Carl Van Vechten, very well renowned as being an aficionado of the Harlem Renaissance. And when you see, it just so happens that he has a picture of Ruby Dee by Carl Van Vechten. You know, another name, another photographer that comes to my mind is James Van Der Zee. And I want our audience to kind of write these names down. I mean, Carl Van Vechten is known for a book called Nigger Heaven, which is, I guess, we know it to be somewhat of a pejorative, but it's really a colloquialism for how black folk had to sit in the upper arches during segregation. You know, when you had to go to a theater, you had to sit in the balcony, a.k.a. Nigger Heaven. Anyway, James Van Der Zee was pretty much the official photographer for Harlem. And, you know, when you're a photographer, you are, in essence, a historian. And Carl Van Vechten has a lovely photograph of Ruby Dee. So anyway, I mention this because it goes to show you just how much of the landscape or the tapestry of the black entertainment historical landscape, what she really was about, what she was comprised of. She was even part of the Harlem Renaissance somewhat with that Carl Van Vechten connection. But she was really a phenomenal actress. We know her with her marriage to Ozzie Davis. But she was actually married before. Ozzie Davis was her second marriage. What makes her even more fascinating, this is something that the Oracle made me aware of. I was aware that she was married twice, but I didn't know that she was actually married to Frankie D. Brown, hence she kept the D. Frankie D. Brown. Now, he was an actor himself, actor-singer. He was also a little person. When you think of someone like Mini-Me or who's the gentleman that's on Game of Thrones, Captain? Thinking about now, I can't think of his name. Phenomenal actor. Anyway, she was married to a little person. And actually, The Oracle affectionately had something against Ruby Dee because he thought he liked that look. The fact that she was who she was and she was deep enough to overlook this quote-unquote handicap and marry a little person. So that's something that you just may want to know just for anecdotal data. First marriage was to a little person. Second marriage was to the great Ossie Davis. Those two were joined at the hip. Always, you couldn't mention Ruby Dee without mentioning Ossie Davis. She joined the American Negroes with Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier. She worked with Sidney in Raisin in the Sun in the early 60s. She attended Hunter College High School. Hunter College as well. She got a degree in Romance Languages. And she is also a Delta Sigma Theta, for those who are into the fraternity-sorority thing. But, I mean, her career was so expansive. Even at advanced age, she was still working. We saw her in American Gangster a few years back with Denzel Washington. So she will be sorely missed, but I think of Ruby Dee also as an activist. I mean, she was arrested a number of times for black causes. I mean, her work really wasn't that different than her politics, if you get what I'm saying. Clearly not a minstrel. So when you think of the Paul Robesons and the Ossie Davises and the Brock Peters and the Raymond St. Jocks and those type of people, Sydney, of course, look where we came from. Look what our artists were about. Now, your artists would forego a check here and there. Ruby Dee would forego a check because of principle. You don't really see that anymore. And that's what really saddens me. I'm sad because I lost a hero, or heroine, pardon me. I lost a heroine. And just the fact of what we have. So when you see the Solanges and the Jay-Z's, the nigga, the overbearingness, the attitude of a Kanye West, we're in some trouble. We're in trouble. There's no comparison to a Ruby Dee with someone of today's ilk that are doing, you know, ghetto lit or performing works that are inspired by ghetto lit. It's a different time. Hopefully Ruby Dee will be remembered. I will remember her. But, folks, I say it today, and I will say it tomorrow. I will say it again. We are losing the greats. We are losing our heroes. We are losing our history. I also want to mention a man of Arabic descent by way of Lebanon, Kamal Casey Kasem, who passed a few days ago at the age of 82 from Parkinson's disease. And I remember him fondly on the Afro Nerd tip because he was the voice of Norville Shaggy Rogers of Scooby-Doo. But he was a phenomenal voiceover actor. I mean, he was in everything. So the early 70s cartoons, the stuff that I grew up on in syndication, certainly Scooby-Doo and that whole crew, Josie and the Pussycats. He was involved in all that stuff. America's Top 20, Top 40. I'm losing my mind. America's Top 40. He was an institution. He was an institution. So he will be sorely missed. I believe his son took over the American Top 40 franchise. And I think Sirius XM also took over some of that, where I think they played some of the older clips. So Mr. Kasem has left the building. Incidentally, his marriage to Jean Kasem, Jean Thompson, the tall blonde woman, was officiated by Jesse Jackson. So I find that interesting. Catherine, any thoughts on the passing of these two legends? I had to mention Casey because, hell, we're doing radio, albeit internet radio. And, of course, the great Ruby Dee.
Well, there's really nothing more to add or take away. You said it all. You covered everything perfectly. You know, these were great people, and they will be missed. That's it.
Definitely. Callers, I see someone dropped off. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to be mentioning some things, Captain, that were not formally advertised for the show. One thing in particular from The Root. I'm going to go to a groove, but I want to mention this, and then we'll go to The Groove. There's an article by way of The Root, Henry Louis Gates's The Root, and it's called The Conspiracy to Whitewash Hip-Hop. Written by Travis Gosa, Dr. Gosa, I should say, he's a PhD, and he's going in on the latest white hip-hop artist, Iggy Azalea, Australia's Iggy Azalea. And I don't quite agree with him, not all the way. I agree that there's a takeover of the hip-hop genre, and I agree that it falls in line with all the other black musical idioms that have been co-opted by the majority culture. But this is the first, in my estimation, the first musical genre that has, where we have been more of a willing participant. I mean, the quality has just gone to crap. The quality has just gone to crap. We're not really overseeing hip-hop the way we once 25, 30 years ago. I would even say there's no real hip-hop community. At some point, having grown up with the music and seeing it from its infancy, I will say forthrightly that there was a true hip-hop community. I don't think there is one now. The hip-hop community, when there were things that were going on in the early 90s, that might have been deleterious to the culture, the community would literally speak up. There will be some repercussions for some things. You know, the crowd would have spoken to you. I'll get into specifics about that after the break. But there's no one to check anyone right now. You know, Chuck D, the legendary lyricist, frontman for Public Enemy, was recently disrespected by a radio station and by a radio personality, Rosenberg. And really, it's being kept online. It's not really being put out there, but I think there's a fair number of folks who just don't really remember. I'm talking about those of the millennial persuasion who just could care less, who could care less or do not really know Chuck D., may not be familiar with Chuck D. And that's like someone who's a jazz aficionado. Let's say someone who knows about fusion jazz. It would be difficult for me to believe that someone who knows fusion jazz would not know bebop and would not know a classical jazz artist. But in hip-hop genre, it seems to be pretty much the case that someone who would classify themselves as a hip-hop head, who would say that's how they would describe themselves, probably would not know who Chuck D or KRS-One is, who they are. Probably would not. You think of other genres, whether it's new blues, jazz, I doubt that would be the case. There would be some familiarity with the earlier artists, the legends. They would know. Hip-hop ignorance is allowed. Purely. All right, folks. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's go to a quick groove. This is Herb Alpert giving you a little bit of jazz now, talking about jazz rock fusion. Herb Alpert, City Terrace. We'll be right back. A little bit of acid jazz. Let's groove. taking out the phaser once again, the great Herb Alpert, City Terrace, City Terrace. Folks, this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. AfroNerd Radio's Midweek in Review Edition. Before the break, I was talking about this article, courtesy of The Root. And I'm going to dislike The Root, Captain. It seems like, well, first of all, I would appreciate nuance in reporting. I don't know why that seems to be so difficult nowadays. I guess it's not profitable to be fair and to be truly fair and balanced. This whole notion of certain media outlets having these bents, I mean, really ideological, exclusively ideological bents, where you are so hard to the left, so hard to the right. And the reality is that folks with common sense, like real people are conservative about certain issues and liberal about other issues. Balanced people. Imbalanced people or unbalanced people are going to have these rigid views. Look at what's happening with the Taliban. I hate to be so grotesque. They're chopping off heads over there in Iraq. Literally. But look what that gets you. Look what that gets you, being so hard on the other side, or one way or the other, without measuring and balancing. So when I look at The Root is very problematic for me. When they are unpacking on Iggy Azalea, young, white, Australian, female hip-hop artist that seems to be making some traction. I've heard about her for a couple of years now, and she's been really going up the ranks. You know, she's got her butt injections. You know, that's a requirement. I saw some before and after photographs of the young lady. It's very interesting that you have to exoticize or quote-unquote blackify yourself, which I'm not really against per se. But she's doing what she has to do. But she's from Australia, but she's wrapped in a southern – I'm not really a big fan. I know she has two songs, one and two, respectively, so they're highly ranked right now. I think one song is called Fancy. That's the hit. You'll never hear that song on this broadcast. I'm just not into her style of music. And she's making the rounds. You know, we see that Nicki Minaj is trying to play the demure role for her standard, taking off the wig and dressing somewhat more conservatively, whatever. Maybe she's transitioning away from hip-hop somewhat. And now, because you're only allowed to have one or two female hip-hop artists at a time, Iggy appears to be the it girl. But the gentleman that wrote this article for The Root feels that she is the harbinger of things to come. Eminem comes up, of course. There's a few white artists that are coming up. And I really don't have a problem. I've never had a problem with multiracialism in the hip-hop. Well, first of all, if you're going to be fair, hip-hop's roots, of course, come from the Bronx, New York. The projects, Sedgwick projects in New York. The music and the culture were created by black and brown youths, Puerto Ricans and African Americans, and Jamaicans, obviously Caribbeans. That is the culture, period. So it started out to a certain degree as a multicultural thing. Later on, you had white involvement with white patronage from the artsy-fartsy village scenes, the Debbie Harrys and the Andy Warhols. The punk rock folk had a certain interest in the promotion and the promulgation of hip-hop music in the late 70s, early 80s. So white folks have always been involved in it, not from the inception, but from early on they were involved. He's trying to make this, the gentleman that wrote this article, Dr. Travis Gosa, he's basically saying, well, you know, white folks are taking over, and he's writing it from a victimized point of view. And that's what I really do not like. We could talk about race music blues music, early rhythm and blues, that style of music being transmogrified into, quote-unquote, rock and roll. We know the famed DJ Alan Freed dubbed the term, or really put that term out there, rock and roll. And rock and roll has always been allegedly, just as the term jazz and rock and roll, have allegedly been colloquial terms for sex, sexuality, rock and roll. Euphemisms for sex, jazz, rock and roll. Alan Freed put that term out there, and then they've never looked back. I believe that hip-hop currently, with the quality of it, when you see India Re critiquing the Grammys for not having any black artists or giving any black, really any artists of note, on especially the hip-hop side, or just black music side, any real recognition from this past year, I don't think they should have gotten any awards, Captain. If you see the product that's coming out now, does any of it deserve any awards? The stuff that we play, certainly. The underground stuff, but the stuff that's being released commercially. Are we going to seriously give these people awards? I can't hate on the Grammys for, quote-unquote, ignoring black music, commercial black music. Emphasis on the word commercial, present-day, current black music, because it's not any good. The product stinks. And if the product stinks, you know, why would you be upset if you see a white takeover? Now, it's different when you saw the quality of the blues music from the 40s, the race music from the 40s and the 50s, and that transition. That's different. I mean, you saw Big Mama Thornton performing Hound Dog, and then you see Elvis Presley performing it. It's like night and day. You saw Pat Boone covering Elvis and covering black, actually covering Little Richard, Tutti Frutti, pardon me. I mean, I like Pat Boone, but Pat Boone was Pat Boone. We knew the deal. We saw the outright theft. We weren't willing participants. This is a different scene. Now, this gentleman has the PhD, but I'm wondering, now, Captain, I want you to weigh in on this. Am I off on something? I mean, you could clearly see that there was a certain quality in the black musical tradition 50, 60, 70 years ago, and then there was the white takeover. And that was of a poorer quality. Now, I mean, heck, the song I played at the beginning, Captain, She's Always in My Hair, which is a B-side single, which we no longer have anymore, a B-side single of the Prince classic, that was a white band that covered She's Always in My Hair. And they did a quality job on this. So you can't hate on white folks taking over your game if your game sucks. What are your thoughts on that, Captain? Am I off base?
Well, here's the reality of the situation. As per rule, of course, there will be exceptions. There will be exceptions. Black and brown, they don't understand economics. They don't understand history. And a lot of times, not all the time, they don't understand even their culture. So black and brown, a lot of times, not all the time, when they do something, they're thinking about getting paid. And if you think from that perspective, black and brown did get paid from hip-hop / rap music. That's what you wanted. That's what you got. You understand? When the power structure, powers that be, when you had your independent label, some of them were owned by black people, and some of those house labels were owned by Latin people. When the powers that be came to you and you were making maybe $1.5 million a year with your little independent label or $2 million, and they said, here's $10 million, give it to me. You didn't think down the line that maybe I could be making $30 million a year, $20 million a year, or $10 million a year. You just gave it to them. That's how things work. So you did get paid because that's all you can see. You didn't see owning. You didn't see Soul Train, infrastructure. You need an infrastructure. When you have an infrastructure, you can control it. You understand? That's how it works. You control it. You decide who to let in, who not to let in, because you are the what? The gatekeepers. Just as the powers that be decide who to let in and who not to let in into their jobs. You do the same thing. But that wasn't your goal. Your goal was to get paid. So what is everybody mad for? Because that's what you did. You got paid. You wanted to have the chain, you got the chain. You wanted to have a $1 million house, you got the $1 million house. You wanted to have $1.5 million in the bank, you got that. You understand? You weren't thinking $30 million or $10 million house, $30 million in the bank, money market, CDs and everything else, investment company. That's not what you were doing. You were thinking about, actually, as they would say, you're thinking beer money because you never had beer. They're thinking champagne money. So that's the reality. So that's the result that you pretty much got because that's what you wanted. That's what it is. That's the reality. So there's no reason for people to come along and write these articles now unless you can wormhole and go back in time and correct that. You don't know culture. You don't understand economics. You understand? This is something that's been happening for a very long time. What are you complaining about? That's all. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I want to read this briefly because I find this interesting. It's a little blurb, and then we're going to move along. I want to talk about Blue Ivy, debauchery, how folks are wasting time discussing a child's hair, and a petition on it, Captain. They can draft a petition for that, but we can't draft a petition for dealing with some of this violence, dealing with some of the culture, the cultural cues, but we can get together on a child's hair, a child that you're not the parent of. I mean, this is, Captain, I mean, every day I find the bar gets lower and lower.
You
I
think
mean,
there's a bottom,
really?
And it just keeps going lower and lower. You think, well, that has to be the bottom. Nope, lower and lower.
I mean, for the world to see that black folks can actually get together on something like this. I mean, get signatures, get people, get involvement.
Wow.
For a child's hair, well, you know, when you're trying to uproot some of this minstrelsy on TV and on radio, especially, we scratch our heads like it's arithmetic from Jupiter. It's that difficult. It's some otherworldly math. We can't seem to figure it out. But for foolishness, we can figure it out. Anyway, I'm going to read this briefly, and I'm going to move along to this dumb petition. It says, 1 week later, again, we're talking about the Roots article on this appropriation of whites, blacks, appropriation of black culture by whites in hip-hop, allegedly. However, the coronation of Iggy as one of the most successful rappers in history has occurred without much support from the imagined hip-hop community or from black people not invested in her brand. Funkmaster Flex has called her music trash, and Iggy's hit singles have received little airplay on top 40 urban hip-hop radio stations. Reviews of her album, The New Classic, have been lukewarm at best. Even XXL, which made her the first female inductee of the magazine's freshman class, admits that the music doesn't live up to the hype. If Iggy isn't a great rapper, why is she so popular? Is it her whiteness? And is her reign part of a larger industry plot to whitewash black music with the likes of Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke? Iggy's meteoric rise is due in part to the music industry's willingness to promote only a handful of super sexy female artists. The twerk videos, cake Instagrams, and a track literally named P-U-S, you can figure it out, is a recipe for profit in a hyper-sexist marketplace. It has worked so well that men and women are buying tickets to Iggy concerts with the sole purpose of feeling her booty. All right.
Cool. Can I just say something real quickly? Oh, man. PhD or not, or whatever he has. Russell Simmons.
Everything sucks.
The great Russell Simmons said 80% of the rap music was bought by white people. I want you to think about that. So who, if this is the downloading public at the given time, because they're not really buying anything, who would they rather see? Does it really matter that her music is any good or not? So you see, it's a marketing machine. It's a game. It's not about any music. And the reason why it's not about any music is because you decided, black and brown, you did not want that job. You did not want to be creators and push the music along to a higher level and own all of these businesses. You didn't want that. All you wanted was to get paid. So that's what you got. So everyone needs to shut up, man. It's depressing at this given point. It really is. That's all.
Yeah, you know, Ja Williams from the chat room, longtime supporter, he says, people are tired of the nigga music. I'm telling you. At first it was shocking and cool. Now it's just sad and pathetic. I would agree.
I agree with that.
I would concur wholeheartedly. It's exactly what it is. I'm so not about what we're seeing. I mean, I think that this person's article is really, really thin. It's a thin hypothesis because we can talk about how the talent pool, or, well, I should say, we can talk about Ms. Azalea's specious talent. Yeah, we can talk about that, but I think it's very disingenuous to be distinctive about her compared to everybody else. What's the difference between her and Meek Mill or Nicki Minaj or Waka Flocka or 2 Chainz, for Christ's sake? I mean, really? A little Bootsy. I can go on and on with current artists or Tyga. I mean, who? I mean, really? All this stuff is garbage. It's just garbage. So, to me, you might as well put her on the grill. Put her on the grill with the rest of the food for the cookout. Cook them all up. I mean, it is what it is. But to bring out her whiteness at this stage of the game, sure, we can say that she's being put to us. I mean, we know that, but we don't have a culture. There's no culture left that's even worthy of adulation. It is what it is. Hopefully things will turn around. All right, folks, again, midweek and review edition of Afro Nerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. There's something that came about sometime last week that really, I had a flash of anger, Captain. I think I did speak to you about this behind the scenes. There's so many of these issues, these 24-hour stories. We're probably late on this thing, but I want to talk about it anyway. There's a petition that came out. I believe it's ongoing, and I believe it might have worked. I think that that Beyonce, that the Carters might have actually listened, and from my understanding, I think they probably did style their daughter's hair. But the fact that there was a petition out to address what some perceive to be the Blue Ivy. We know Blue Ivy is the daughter of Jay-Z and Beyonce Knowles. That there is a perception that the daughter, that this is, again, this is a child that's what, a year old, 2 years old, something like that, that her hair was unkempt publicly. That they had to talk about it. That we're in this child's face is disturbing. Now, Michael Jackson doesn't seem so weird to me. You know, if you remember, many years ago, we thought that Wacko Jacko was beyond the skin bleaching and multiple surgeries, plastic surgeries. We thought he was crazy because we really did not know. We know there was a few years that we did not know the identity of his children. We see them walking around, but he had veils over them. That might have been the right move. I can really see that. I would prefer not to know what Blue Ivy looks like. I think that for a child, for a child, period. Let her make it to at least young adulthood to make the decision. But they put her out there already. So now we're scrutinizing babies. We're scrutinizing babies. Now maybe her hair was unkempt. Maybe. I wasn't really looking that closely, to be honest with you. But now we've gotten to the point as a community or a segment of the community, we're so in the rectums of these artists. I can't put it any other way, Captain. We're not even in their mouths. We're in their butts. We're so deep in their plumbing that we're looking at the hairs of the children. And then we have enough chutzpah to comment on it. But we can't comment on the pants sagging. We can't comment on the overt minstrelsy. We can't comment on the violence. There's no petitions for that. There's no consensus for that. But there's the consensus that, oh, yeah, her hair's out of control. We got to do something about that. Jay-Z, we're telling you, Jay-Z, we don't like the way your daughter's hair looks. We've got to address that. That's what they said, bluntly and vocally, resoundingly, Captain. They actually said, hey, Jay, we don't like your daughter's hair, man. Do something about that. Address that, please. Address that. Living life in a fishbowl, Captain. Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did.
Living,
yes, you did.
I mean, living life in a fishbowl. And we know how big Jay-Z's sucker lips are. So he's coming up to the water, and we're feeding him. I hate to go there, but that imagery. I mean, it is what it is. Again, Captain, your thoughts on why is this, what is this, is it absurd, and why isn't anyone saying that it's absurd?
Well, I guess that's our role in the Matrix. It's a controversy that turns into somewhat of a controversy. And making a mountain out of a molehill, I don't get it. You know, I totally don't get it. I just don't get it. That's one I just don't get. I don't get. Those people need to find something to do. That's what I see. That's the way I see it. They need to find something to do. Matter of fact, they have too much time on their hands. That's what it comes down to. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about it.
One quick thing, I see that Nicole Bitchy, which is pretty much like the Perez Hilton thing. Nicole Bitchy is a blogger. They covered this. I hate to be in these minstrel sites, but it's interesting. Also, there's a comment by India Ari. But because of social media is a dangerous thing. I mean, obviously, you know, that's self-explanatory. But the fact that you have strangers and just regular folk being able to just weigh in and for their voices to be heard. Now you have other notable folk weighing in on this. So when it trends in social media, Captain, all of a sudden now everybody comments. Everybody, we know what people think. We know what's in your head. There's no mystery. There's no filter. I miss the days. I lament the days where there was a filter. But we just didn't really know or cared what you think. Now, as you said earlier in the show, there's such a glue between technology and the millennials that whatever passing thought is in your head, it literally drops out onto the pages of the internet. So I'm going to read this quickly, and then we're going to move along from this foolishness. It says here, Nicole Bitchy, of course, NicoleBitchy.com. Over the past year, Bey has been criticized for her child's hair being unkempt, but things came to a head last week after a petition was launched on Change.org requesting that the superstar singer take better care of her child's hair. It read, "As a woman who understands the importance of hair care, it's disturbing to watch a child suffering from the lack of hair moisture." The parents of Blue Ivy, Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, and Beyonce, has failed at numerous attempts of doing Blue Ivy's hair. This matter has escalated to the child developing matted dreads and lint balls. Please let's get the word out to properly care for Blue Ivy's hair. Then it says fellow singers such as Tamar Braxton, Selena Johnson, and Kiki White also commented on Blue's hair in a radio interview, which sent the Bay Hive in a frenzy. Now India Ree, who has been a spokesperson for all women to love and embrace their natural selves, is speaking out. Appalled at the audacity of grown folks attacking a child, the singer penned an open letter defending Blue Ivy while asking grown folks why they think it's okay to attack a child. All right, that's it. We've really got to get in control over an alternative media. That when this foolishness goes down, there's got to be a loud smack upside the head. So loud, so deafening, that these people have to be shamed. You know what I talked about shame, Captain? There's no shame also. And I'm consistently being told, and this is what I will say about liberal media, that shame is a bad thing. You can't shame your children about their pants sagging. You can't shame them about improper English. You can't shame people.
Oh, really?
So when folks go out and get into the business of the child rearing of people that are strange to them, because Beyonce and Jay-Z are strangers. They're strange as a person you might see in a train station. But because they're performers, they give you the impression for the weak-minded, which you also referenced, Captain, for those who have a weak mind. We believe these people are neighbors down the block. And even your neighbor, you might not say anything. This is crazy, Captain. I will say I've never seen anything like this. Not in recent years. This is something else. This is going to end bad, badly. I don't see the culture. I don't get it.
Now,
all right,
now
listen.
You see how stupid people have gotten within the last 10 years? That's a whole nother story, y'all.
I was going to talk about John Singleton, and maybe we'll have enough time to get into it. John Singleton, the famed director, Boys in the Hood, Rose Hood, he was speaking before, I believe, other directors, other folks in the business, Hollywood business, that is, and he brought up a historical term that I haven't heard for quite a while. Speaking of the Harlem Renaissance, he used the term nigritude. And he actually referenced someone who I like quite a bit, Stanley Crouch, the columnist and jazz critic Stanley Crouch. Stanley Crouch, he used the term nigritude, and he schooled Mr. Singleton on the term nigritude in reference to black filmmaking. So I might address that for a few moments. I thought it was interesting. I'm just not comfortable with Singleton's interpretation of nigritude. Because just to be real quick about this, and then we'll go to a break. Nigritude, going back to the Harlem Renaissance, going back to the actual historical definition of it, has a lot to do with the embracing of authentic black culture, being our true black selves in whatever artistic endeavor you choose to partake in. Like the concept of a real black movie in all of its entirety, like being honest about your cultural components and just putting it out there. So, and not being ashamed of it, like just putting out a black product, Captain, and saying, damn you all, this is what I want to do. So he says that's what that's another reason why he has said, again, talking about Singleton, the reason why you have not really been seeing too many of his projects is because he doesn't want to put out, in his words, he wants to put out something that is like, it harkens back to products that really were about negritude. I'm just uncomfortable with his interpretation of that. Because some folks may think, someone can make the argument that all this minstrelsy is negritude. I don't think so. So I'm a little uncomfortable with Singleton's interpretation of what Stanley Crouch was talking about. So maybe I will talk about that after the break. But I ask you, Captain, and our listeners, can the argument be made that what we're seeing now, as far as, let's say, a movie like Think Like a Man 2, or any of these black rom-coms, or any of what even what Tyler Perry does, can someone say that that is negritude, that that's black people doing what black people do, being honest, unapologetic, and we just have to deal with it? I don't think so. I hope that's not what John Singleton is getting at. All right. Let's move to a quick groove. Right back. This is Selma's Dead. Beck interpreting Herbie Hancock, Beck, Cell Phone's Dead. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Put a dollar in my pocket and I threw it away. Been a long time since the federal dime made the jukebox sound like a made up mind. To calm my worries, fix my thoughts, fool my hopes like a juggernaut walks. Now let down souls can't feel the rhythm. Sorry, entertainers like aerobics victims. Hybrid people light a wooden matchstick. Toxic fumes in the burning plastic. Beats are broken, bones are spastic. Robots talking with a southern accent. Voodoo curses, Bible tongues. Voices coming from the mangled lungs. Need some grit, some get down shit. Don't need a good reason to let in. It's real.
Radio's cold, soul is
all the damage felt like a laser manifesto making manical mouth. Falling in like it's unlimited minutes. Going through the motions of the sleeping of the field. Treadmills running underneath their feet. So you feel like you're going somewhere but they're not. So let's put boots on the warehouse floor. Coming to you like a rope on the chain store. Throwing equipment from a moving van. Grab a microphone like a utility man. Now fix the beat, now brace the rest. Make a kick drum sound like an SOS. Put a tow truck, cause it's after dark. And the dance floor full, but everybody's ever parked.
Cell phone's dead, lost in the desert.
Alright, folks, time constraints. That was the great Beck with a Herbie Hancock remix, Cell Phone's Dead. We're getting really down to the wire on this thing. You know, I'm going to deal with the negritude thing for Saturday's show, folks. Again, Saturday we have our infamous Grindhouse edition of
Afro Radio with the Comic Shop and the Uncanny Daryl B. What I want to do, I would be remiss if I didn't really talk about this, and I know the captain might want to weigh in this as well, weigh in on this as well. You know, for a few years, Hallmark has this mahogany line of greeting cards, Captain. And I remember seeing it in a store one day, and I was flabbergasted with Happy Father's Day Mom cards. So this doesn't appear to be going away. There's no petition to get rid of this, Captain. Now, this is clearly something that has to be reevaluated. Let the institution of fatherhood stand on its own. Because I appreciate women or just single parents, period, that are put in certain circumstances, certain situations, and they rise to the occasion. But I also have to be fair and honest, talk about, hell, the stats show that ideally, you would want your parenting to be about a two-parent household. The yin and the yang, having both parts of a child-rearing component, and helping to rear or raise a balanced male or female. That's ultimately what you would want to do. But because the circumstances, I mean, this is a way of clowning black folk, I think, Captain, because circumstances, I mean, it appears we've just conceded to this. We've just conceded to an 80 percentile out of wedlock birth, childbirth thing in the black community. We've conceded to that. And now we're seeing KFC commercials where the black family is being portrayed as the mother and her children, never a male in sight. Now, with everybody else, all other ethnicities, we see an intact family. But the black family, well, this is just normal. We've made this normative. We've made it normative. So when you have Happy Father's Day Mom, I mean, let the institution of motherhood stand. Because a mother can never be that father. So why pretend otherwise? Why do we have to be politically correct? There's a blogger that even goes as far as saying he would advise not to even date a woman who claims this or who believes this is copacetic. I find that interesting. So we're seeing pockets of honesty. There's a website called naturallymoi.com. And this writer goes in saying, hey, stay away from women if you are a male dating these women who even believe this is okay. He says, I'm looking at this quickly, she is damaged goods. A single mother who seeks recognition on Father's Day has already been ruined by another man. Instead of picking up the pieces of her broken heart in an attempt to mend them back together, she resorts to allowing the pain and heartache from her previous relationship to fester, causing the pain to manifest itself in other areas of her life like an untreated cancer. It goes in. Catherine, what are your thoughts? You got about 4 minutes remaining. Why no outrage? Why no petition on having a card? Because why would someone find this to be okay to diminish fatherhood as an institution?
Well, you have to understand a few things that's happening here. Number one, it's part clowning of the black community, that's for sure. But we have to remember, out of wedlock birth rate is up for everybody, other than the Asians. It's actually up for everybody. So we have a liberal agenda, and if we go back into the 70s, it was liberal programs that led to the situation where these black females could not have these men in living in their household in order to get these liberal programs. From the time we got these liberal programs, out of wedlock birth rate, surprisingly, all of a sudden went up. So you have a combination of the liberal agenda and the clowning of the black community, and also the liberal agenda, which gives rise to the rise of the female. As you see, females are also on the rise on the planet as far as leadership. Just look across the world. Look what they're talking about happening here in the United States. So you have all of these things playing into play, but this is a nutso situation because at the end of the day, men have to be men. Women have to be women. It's called mother for a reason because you are a female. It's called father for a reason because you are a male. You understand? Even though they say men have to earn the right to be a father, that's a whole different thing. But that's just the reality of it. So that's just how I feel about it. Back over to you, Sir Afro.
All right, folks, we've got about 2 minutes remaining, so I want to go to our closing credits. Folks, it's always an absolute pleasure. Our apologies for the preemption for the last couple of shows. I actually attended a Comic-Con, a local Comic-Con called Eternal Con, and I'll talk about that this upcoming Saturday Grindhouse broadcast. Always pleasure. Thanks, Ken Success from Chi-Town, for stopping through. Bison for Life. Ja Williams, we appreciate the support. Black Achievement, listening in. We'll do it again and always better. Going out in the groove. This is Zim Zala Bim. As if, what's that, Haji from the Johnny Quest? Zim Zala Bim, Most Def. Give you the best of Black Rock. See you on Saturday, 6 p.m.
Yes.
Ghetto people. What you? You and you in front.
Yo.
That Johnson. Loud and stomping. Undisputed heavyweight champ of the world. Yo. I'm loud with it, low middle to high with it, and that's how I'ma live and die with it, all up and down your spine with it, like Zim Zala Bim, Jack Johnson, yes my dog, ride with them, the most special, most ghetto, most metal, most valuable, rep my avenue like it's the damn state capital, come and travel through minds, a better mark of greatness, a slave to hijack and slave ship, the hackers who can crack the matrix, and build the road back to basics, and get y'all all off that strange shit, that all these other cats run game with, it's tainted, consider it's the moment to change it now. Jack on sandstorm, never bow down. Back off or get clapped on right about wow. From east to the west, up north to down south, we show you how to really make a march fit bound. Show you how to really make the ghetto wild out. First letters that I wrote when I sketched the script down. I'm loud with it, low middle to high with it, and that's how I'm a living down with it. I shine with it, prime with it, revered and recognized with it. The ghetto know what time is it when I spit it. Menage Born to rock, turn my portion hot. Rock the bourgeois to any bully on your block. My flow tighter than a big city hall to top. Super than the Floyd Flakes that they pour in the pot. Sent out by the corn cook, of course I'm not. My sharp mind join the dots before they rock. A lot of cats talk noise a lot, but then the noise is stopped when that heavy sound hoist and chop. And this is no lip biscuit, this is Jack's back hot. Load it up, slide it back, get so black rock. Brooklyn got the bum rush that you can't stop. She's the hungry handed off that chick ass box. I never gave a second thought to fucking with y'all, cause my first thought covered it all. You whack and I don't care what your sons mumble to y'all, cause you can't do me nothing at all. Cause me, you can't shine my shoes, wash my drawers, clean my car, walk my dog, mow my lawn. In other words, dude, I don't need shit from them. All I got is hard rhymes and hot sticks for them. And yeah, I got the country music for them. See how dark it can get for them. Sell they mama's ass, it's for them. Get the flower face sent for them. A sad story how it went for them. Look what you get for not listening.
fire. And a long verse of kumbaya. You stand strong, you can't move higher. You move power, you gotta move higher. Ready to roll like loose fire. Where I can show you who the true liar. True power, move quiet. Do the understanding of the science. We live with it, no middle to high with it. And that's how we gon' live and die with it. Now ride with it.
Yeah, get a rock with me. Ha. Get a rock with me. Ha. Get a rock with me. Get a rock, get a motherfucker.
Freaky Radio.